Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, February 12th. From member station KRCC in Colorado Springs, El Paso County Sheriff's Deputy Micah Flick was remembered Saturday as a husband, father, and a hero. Flick was killed a week ago today in Colorado Springs in an incident that injured three other law enforcement officers and a civilian. The suspect was also killed. Flick's widow, Rachel, spoke during the service and recalled often telling her husband not to be a hero.
Do your job and do it well, but don't be a hero. But here's the problem. Here's the problem with Micah is that he was a hero. He is a hero, and he couldn't help it. He couldn't help it.
Other speakers at the service included El Paso County Sheriff Bill Elder, Colorado Springs Police Chief Pete Carey, and Governor John Hickenlooper. Flick is the third officer in Colorado killed in the line of duty over the past 5 weeks. In a glance at the ongoing sexual harassment scandal at the state capitol, in Capitol coverage last week, Benta Berkland reported that the entire Democratic caucus in the Colorado Senate has called for the resignation of Republican Senator Randy Baumgardner. Baumgardner, who represents Garfield County, among others, is under investigation for sexual harassment. The complaint against him has been found to be credible by outside sources. Senate rules are unclear about what the disciplinary process should be. Punishments vary from a minor sanction to an outright removal from office. Two other formal complaints are pending at the State House. Democrat Steve Lebsock and Republican Jack Tate are both facing sexual harassment claims. Funding for Colorado's Civil Rights Commission and the Division of Civil Rights is uncertain following a vote in the legislature last Thursday. The Joint Budget Committee deadlocked in a 3-3 vote, which effectively shuts off funding to the agencies starting in July. In our weekly Capitol conversation, Benta Berkland talked to State House reporters about what that means and how it could impact the session.
Today we have Marianne Goodland with Colorado Politics and Ed Seelover with the Denver Business Journal. Marianne, I know you've been covering what's happening right now with the Civil Rights Commission. Give us an overview and what happened.
The Civil Rights Commission and the Division of Civil Rights, which are both within the Department of Regulatory Agencies, are up for a sunset review this year. And that means that they need authorization to continue their work. At the same time, their budget was up in the Joint Budget Committee on Thursday, and the committee deadlocked over funding the commission beginning July 1st of 2018. There are some people who are claiming that this is retaliation against the commission for their decision in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, which is currently awaiting a decision from the U.S. Supreme Court. The Masterpiece Cake Shop case took place in 2012 when a same-sex couple went to this Lakewood bakery and asked for a wedding cake. The owner refused based on his religious opposition to same-sex marriage. What we have now is a brouhaha in the Capitol with Democrats just absolutely furious, including the governor, that the JBC could not come up with a budget for the Civil Rights Commission.
Would this be something that would go through no problem if it wasn't for this Supreme Court case?
Sunset reviews are very pro forma things around here. Lots of boards and commissions go through this every year, and usually they're no big deal. But Republicans are upset about the Masterpiece Cake Shop. They're also upset about an appointment that the governor made to the Civil Rights Commission that they disagreed with. They did not accept that appointment and rejected the nomination. And those two things combined with the Masterpiece Cake Shop issue means that Republicans are kind of gunning for the Civil Rights Commission. They want to see changes in how the commission's members are appointed. They also want to see more transparency. But I think there's at least a portion of Republicans in the state Senate that would like to see the commission go away entirely.
Ed, how does this impact everything else that's going on down here?
We knew it was going to be a political, fairly ugly year, and none of that had come to surface really so far. This is the first time we've seen a partisan fight over a social issue that I think is going to bleed over a little bit. Now, I mean, you look at some of the things that are going through right now that already have DOA signs on them. Republicans are trying to push through regulatory reform. That's probably not going to be a success, and this doesn't help. Democrats are trying to push through a plan to offer employee-funded paid leave leave to every employee at a private business in this state that had little chance to begin with. That's probably dead now, too. But the real question is, are the feelings over this going to get so tough that it's going to, A, make it harder to craft a budget at this point, or B, that it's going to get into things like the debate over transportation funding, which, by the way, is, you know, has a major piece of the budget crafting process at its center. In an election year, things like this can get outsized in their impact on everything else.
And then we have public pension reform. We have the sexual harassment workplace policy that they have to revamp. So a lot of big outstanding things they want to get to by the end of this session.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and we have things that they're going through pretty well right now, such as broadband expansion throughout the state that passed by a 30-5 margin in the Senate recently. Things like that probably don't get derailed, but at this point, you know, everything is up in the air when you're having a core fight over social issues, though they in some ways tend to affect less people than some of the bigger policies, like, say, transportation funding or pension reform in this state. They tend to have a more pointed impact on how legislators treat each other.
That was Ed Seelover with the Denver Business Journal, Marianne Goodland with Colorado Politics. I'm Benta Berkland, and this is Capital Conversation.
And in a Monday sports story, at Delta High School on Saturday, one of the toughest regions in the state held its tournament as the 2A Region 1 championship was won by the Cedar Edge Bruins. Optimism runs high at Cedar Edge as 11 Bruins qualified for Thursday's state tournament. Cedar Edge has never finished higher than 7th place at state. Cedar Edge will be led by two individual champions, freshman Adrian Nieto and sophomore Sean Dale. The Bruins won the team title at regionals with 228 points. Paonia was second with 209.5, and Hotchkiss finished third with 178 team points. Paonia had three regional champions and qualified 10 total wrestlers for state. Clay Campbell, Gray Neal, and heavyweight Levi Peterson all won individual titles for Paonia on Saturday. Hotchkiss High School had three regional champions as Tracer Hall, Sergio Campos, and Devin Curtis all won individual titles for the Bulldogs. Norwood saw one wrestler win a regional title. Aiden DeBall was the champion at 160 pounds. In 3A action, Delta's outstanding senior, Logan Church, won a regional title, as did teammate Aiden Barrios. In 4A, Montrose saw five wrestlers qualify for the state championship, and in 5A wrestling at state, don't be surprised if Grand Junction brings home the championship. The Tigers finished second in their region and qualified nine wrestlers for state, including six individual champions. The state wrestling tournament runs Thursday through Saturday night at the Pepsi Center in Denver this weekend. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.